and thank you, Lord, for the victory that growing brings. In surrender of everything, life is so worthwhile. And I thank you, Lord, that when everything's put in place, out in front I can see your face. And it's there
to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, just click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive, and you'll find that on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage.
We are hid with Christ forever in the Father's holy plan. In this pure eternal union, we behold the perfect man. And we know that sin can never overthrow the sacred rod of dominion.
Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's readings is Counteracting Addiction with Purity. We've just sung hymn number 370, and the remaining hymns are 15 and 305. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Well, we'll start with the Bible, and this will be from Deuteronomy, first of all, and then Leviticus and Isaiah. Deuteronomy. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. Diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thine hand. And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? From the Gospels of St. Luke and St. Matthew. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. They arrived at the country of the Gadarene, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it into the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return unto thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now I'll read from Psalms and Romans. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Now, from Corinthians, 1 and 2nd, and Timothy, 1 and 2nd. In this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our host which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboureth. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Keep thyself pure. Now, I shall read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. If drugs are part of God's creation, which, according to the narrative in Genesis, he pronounced good, then drugs cannot be poisonous. If he could create drugs intrinsically bad, then they should never be used. If he creates drugs at all and designs them for medical use, why did Jesus not employ them and recommend them for treatment of disease? Matter is not self-creative, for it is unintelligent. Erring mortal mind confers the power which the drug seems to possess. Narcotics quiet mortal mind and so relieve the body, but they leave both mind and body worse for this omission. Christian Science impresses the entire corporeality, namely mind and body, and brings out the proof that life is continuous and harmonious. Science both neutralizes error and destroys it. Mankind is the better for this spiritual and profound pathology. It is recorded that the profession of medicine originated in idolatry with pagan priests who besought the gods to heal the sick and designated Apollo as the god of medicine. He was supposed to have dictated the first prescription according to the history of 4,000 years of medicine. It's here noticeable that Apollo was also regarded as the sender of disease, the god of pestilence. Hippocrates turned from image gods to vegetable and mineral drugs for healing. This was deemed progress in medicine. But what we need is the truth which heals both mind and body. The future history of material medicine may correspond with that of its material god, Apollo, who was banished from heaven and endured great sufferings upon the earth. Drugs, cataplasms, and whiskey are stupid substitutes for the dignity and potency of divine mind and its efficacy to heal. It is pitiful to lead men into temptation through the byways of this wilderness world, to victimize the race with intoxicating prescriptions for the sick, until mortal mind acquires an educated appetite for strong drink and men and women become loathsome sots. Evidences of progress and of spiritualization greet us on every hand. Drug systems are quitting their hold on matter and so letting in matter's higher stratum, mortal mind. the medical schools would learn the state of man from matter instead of from mind. They examine the lungs, tongue, and pulse to ascertain how much harmony or health matter is permitting to matter, how much pain or pleasure, action or stagnation, one form of matter is allowing another form of matter. The depraved appetite for alcoholic drinks, tobacco, tea, coffee, opium, is destroyed only by mind's mastery of the body. This normal control is gained through divine strength and understanding. There's no enjoyment in getting drunk, in becoming a fool or an object of loathing, but there is a very sharp remembrance of it, a suffering inconceivably terrible to man's self-respect. Puffing the obnoxious fumes of tobacco or chewing a leaf naturally attractive to no creature except a loathsome worm is at least disgusting. Man's enslavement to the most relentless masters, passion, selfishness, envy, hatred, and revenge, is conquered only by a mighty struggle. Every hour of delay makes the struggle more severe. If man is not victorious over the passions, they crush out happiness, health, manhood. Here, Christian Science is the sovereign panacea, giving strength to the weakness of mortal mind, strength from the immortal and omnipotent mind, and lifting humanity above itself into purer desires, even into spiritual power and goodwill to man. Let the slave of wrong desire learn the lessons of Christian Science, and he will get the better of that desire and ascend a degree in the scale of health, happiness, and existence. Sin and disease must be thought before they can be manifested. You must control evil thoughts in the first instance, or they will control you in the second. The purification of sense and self is a proof of progress. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Unless the harmony and immortality of man are becoming more apparent, we are not gaining the true idea of God, and the body will reflect what governs it, whether it be truth or error, understanding or belief, spirit or matter. Christian Science brings to the body the sunlight of truth, which invigorates and purifies. Christian Science acts as an alterative, neutralizing error with truth. Truth is an alterative in the entire system and can make it every whit whole. To be every whit whole, man must be better spiritually as well as physically. To be immortal, we must forsake the mortal sense of things, turn from the lie of false belief to truth, and gather the facts of being from the divine mind. To the mind equally gross, dirt gives no uneasiness. It's the native element of such a mind, which is symbolized and not chafed by its surroundings. But impurity and uncleanliness, which do not trouble the gross, could not be borne by the refined. This shows that the mind must be clean to keep the body in proper condition. One says, I take good care of my body. To do this, the pure and exalting influence of the divine mind on the body is requisite. And the Christian Scientist takes best care of his body when he leaves it most out of his thought. And like the Apostle Paul, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The necessity for uplifting the race is father to the fact that mind can do it, for mind can impart purity instead of impurity, strength instead of weakness, and health instead of disease. According to divine science, man is, in a degree, as perfect as the mind that forms him. The truth of being makes man harmonious and immortal. while error is mortal and discordant. Christian Science demonstrates that none but the pure in heart can see God, as the gospel teaches. In proportion to his purity is man perfect, and perfection is the order of celestial being, which demonstrates life in Christ, life's spiritual ideal. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure.